This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Welcome to the 81st edition of the Square Ball Podcast. My name's Dan, and I've got with me in the studio Michael.
Hello.
Moscow White.
Hello.
And Oddy.
Hello.
The most important thing I can tell you about right now is that we do a fanzine, and issue one has been and gone on sale. How were sales?
All right.
Very good.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you for buying if you bought it. If you haven't yet got it, I presume you can get hold of a copy via our fantastic website.
Which is now fully functioning. Almost. It's more functioning than it ever has been.
You can find that and you can buy subscriptions. Don't forget the digital sub starts at tenner a year. It's a bargain. Go to thesquareball.net.
White watching.
Okay, then let's reflect on the start, the middle, and indeed the end of the Dave Hockaday era. Just in the context of Don Revie, you know, he had like the Glory Years video, which obviously spanned like 2 decades of glorious football, cup finals. You could probably condense the highlights of the Dave Hockaday era into a single animated GIF. And I know you like doing stuff like that, Moscow, so can you do that as a homework project?
I could try. I mean, he's only got one facial expression, which is generally smug, looking as if he's talking to an absolute idiot. And then Junior Lewis generally has the facial expression of the idiot.
With a dog who's...
the idiot he was talking to.
A dog with his head out the car window.
Yeah, so sort of interchanging the two for a few seconds probably tells you everything you need to know. In fact, probably the representative gif is the Hock and Lewis sitting in the dugout at half-time against Bradford, letting the team go into the dressing rooms while they sat in the dugout, like, having a tactical chat. And what I loved about that most of all was that Dave Hockaday covered his mouth as if he was, you know, when Messi's discussing how to take a free kick and he doesn't want to be lip-read by the cameras, he was covering his mouth, whereas I think Junior Lewis's jaw was just too slackly open to be able to cover it with one human hand.
We'll climb the mountain, Junior. Let's climb them. All right, we'll tell him to climb the mountain. And if that doesn't inspire him, I don't know what will.
What was great about it is Lewis seems to be making quite a detailed tactical suggestion. And then as soon as he's finished,
he's asking if he can go for a wee.
As soon as he's finished, it's like 10 or 15 seconds. His face just reverts to the usual look of absolute horror. And somebody on Twitter said it looked like as soon as he'd finished speaking, he suddenly thought to himself, wait, no, that's a terrible idea. Let's not do that.
Well, it all started back at Millwall with the customary defeat now that we endure at the Den. None of us lot went, so we could probably just brush over this one if you want.
We can point out that the Hockaday era, where he promised hard work,
humility,
and basically we were going to be more prepared.
Hardcore.
No other team was going to want it more than those 7 minutes we lost the goal, conceded to a corner. That's all it took for our beautifully, brilliantly organised team to go 1-0 down to a simple set piece. And then he came out at the end of the game and just said Millwall were hungrier than us. So after months, 2 months of telling us that no team in football was going to be hungrier than Leeds United, first game, yeah, Millwall, they're hungrier than Leeds United. Millwall.
It's almost like he overvalues hunger as an attribute needed for football.
And undervalues marking from corners.
But yeah, We'll win from hunger, but we can lose from hunger. That's the only thing, though, that makes a difference.
She's a double-edged bitch.
On to the Accrington game, then. And it was nice to see Dukara scoring too. That's him who you said in the last podcast, he looks like he'll never score, Moscow.
Yeah, that's different to saying he will never score. He looked against Dundee, and he, to be fair, looked against Accrington. I mean, the first one he scuffed. The second one, admittedly, was a beautiful goal, and you can't really deny it was a great finish. He hasn't scored any since, has he?
That's true. You're practically right.
Anyone can score against Accrington. Who was it that Mike Grella got his hat-trick against?
Kettering.
Right. And who did Ramon Nunes get his hat-trick against?
He didn't, did he?
Just proves my point even more. So Dakara's hat-trick against Accrington
are actually bottom of the Football League at the moment. They have 1 point.
Just goes to show. So Dakara's six-goal haul against Accrington proves nothing. However, it did. It was apparently enough to turn his loan move into a permanent transfer.
I must admit, until he scored, I was sat with Moscow for this, and I was saying, yeah, he doesn't look particularly poachery. And he was doing the Becchio thing of controlling it on the edge of the 18-yard box and chasing it all the way back to the halfway line, trying to just get it into his feet.
Like a child chasing a balloon.
Yeah, but, you know, goals are goals, even if they're against an Italian amateur or Accrington Stanley.
Yes. Well, that's it. Those 16 against whatever they were called should count, if those count. I'm sticking to that. And Berardi shouldn't have been suspended because a fair tackle.
I think he went for the ball.
If it wasn't on a football pitch, though, he might be in prison. So, probably take the red.
I enjoyed it.
It was ridiculous. It was not the first stupid thing he'd done, either. He was trying to injure people with every single challenge, as far as I could tell.
And we need more like that. Hungry, hardcore, violent. No, it's not an H,
see, Michael Brown as a role model.
Yeah, he was very Brown-esque.
Yeah, it was a bit like that Brown against Sheffield Wednesday when he rolled across somebody else's back, except this was more of a scissor round his neck.
Well, Brown did the scissor kick on someone, didn't he? Down by the corner flag.
But he ended up just sort of falling off him because he's old. Whereas Berardi has got that young buck full of spunk and
vigour.
Scissor kicks.
Vigour.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing him in the side again.
And scissor kicks.
Briefly, yes.
And then on to Elland Road again at the weekend. It was the home tie against Middlesbrough, possibly the zenith of the Dave Hockaday era. This one, high point.
He achieved nirvana.
Dave Pressure Hockaday, to give him his full name. I mean, come on.
He revelled in achieving nirvana.
Do you know what? I mean, I got into a ding-dong with an internet clown about referring to him as being a bit like David Brent. This was pre-season. And goodness me, you can't say things like that.
But he won.
He did win. So he silenced his critics. Well done, Dave.
Back from you.
A little while.
But yes, it was a nice victory, a nice moment, yeah? Well, late winner, yeah. New signing.
Yeah, can't argue with Billy Sharp. Not William, he is actually christened Billy. He told somebody off. Somebody, I think, had made like a tribute graphic or something with William Sharp 8. Is he wearing 8?
Mm-hmm.
He is the Rod Wallace of which we spoke last time. And yeah, his reaction was basically, actually, it's Billy. Which I imagine he said a million times. But yes, so Billy scored the goal. Dave took the credit for Massimo Cellino signing him.
And all fat lads in Sheffield rejoiced.
And then several days later, at home to Brighton, the midweek fixture. We don't really do Tuesdays as a rule. Lost 2-0. And comfortably lost 2-0.
It's amazing how quickly the good feeling from beating Middlesbrough was just pissed away. Because everybody was in a really good mood after Middlesbrough, quite rightly. It wasn't the best performance in the world, but...
In the Middlesbrough game, to go back to it, we should definitely have been a goal behind. Because there was nothing wrong with their sort of overhead kick that was disallowed.
It was an overhead kick, so disallowed.
Okay.
They're against the rules.
Showing off.
Yeah, basically.
In Hockaday's football... No showing off.
So, yes, we should have been a goal down.
And we only won because their keeper parried Tong's shot straight to Billy Sharp's feet.
Poacher's goal.
Yeah, if you don't buy a ticket.
Poacher's goal, but, you know.
They do count.
Well, yeah, but not really.
This is reminding me of a brilliant thing that somebody said on, I think, on Wacko the other week, where someone was saying, you can't get promoted with players like Matt Smith in your team. They're like, but he'll score 16 goals. You don't then like win the league, and somebody from the Premier League comes up and says, well, yes, you did finish top of the league with 100 points. However, you did play Matt Smith. He's like, well, what do you mean? Yeah, sorry, you can't get promoted with players like Matt Smith in
your
team.
I remember thinking that when Blackpool were promoted with Stephen Craney at left back. Yeah. I remember thinking, no. Someone needs to intervene here.
Yeah, so back to the Brighton game. On the sheet here, somebody has jotted down the words, we were shite. Fair assessment?
Mm. Yeah.
Wouldn't disagree with that at all. It was a lesson in how not to play a midfield diamond, which was a shame because we were playing a midfield diamond. What you do to beat the midfield diamond, the corner of Brighton, is you get one player to stand in the middle of it. Mm. And then the four Leeds players will look at each other rather than tackle the player in the middle. And he can just receive a pass and turn and then pass it to somebody else wherever he wants.
I mean, this covers the Hockaday era as a whole with this diamond. In that, just having four players all trying to seemingly do the same job from marginally different positions, but all slightly wanting to play someone else's position. Mm. Didn't really work, did it?
What was also heartbreaking in this is watching close-up of an incredibly broken Sam Byram. Every time he got the ball out wide, checked in onto his left foot with his first touch, it was awful to watch. Everybody, like in the northeast corner, just yelling, just take him on. Just open your body out, tap the ball forward, run after it, and go around the fullback. And he did it once, won a free kick, and then the next time, no, just cut inside, give it to Tongi. It's awful to watch.
That poor boy.
It's been awful to watch Tongi trying to be a running box-to-box midfielder as well, because he can't do it, can he?
Not really.
When he's running, he looks like I do when I'm running. He looks pained.
Describe that to us then, yeah. What's your motion like?
Like a fat kid doing cross-country, that kind of a look. You can see it in his face, he's all, oh, come on.
I've hit the wall.
Oh, you've only just set off. Come on. Oh, because I had to run.
Anything you can conclude from the Brighton game other than we were shite? Or should we move on?
Hockaday's a wanker. We were shite because Hockaday's a wanker.
All right, then on to Watford, which wasn't entirely Hockaday's fault.
None of it was Hockaday's fault. That's why he didn't get sacked. It was all Pepe Belushki's fault. The warrior did too much warrioring all over somebody's head.
He let it bounce, didn't he?
He's obviously not used to the hoof ball and assumed it was travelling slower than it appeared and thought he could, using the outside of his right foot, just sort of play it out to... he must have imagined we had a winger playing. And instead of doing that, maybe it was a realisation that there was nobody to his right. The ball just bounced underneath his foot and then the heat was on. I was hoping somebody would pick up. The heat was on and the temperature got so high that he hit the sky and he gave away a penalty and it was pretty ugly.
And then it went tits up, didn't it, really? Then?
Well, once you let in one goal, you may as well let in four.
That's true. And Byram took it well.
Allegedly. Yeah, there's no actual footage of this, is there? And everyone who was there said he may have been sent off and he may have done something, but there's not a chance the linesman or the referee actually saw it. Made it up afterwards. They looked back at a man on the floor and went... Ooh,
just to look at Leeds player, man on floor... I know what happened there.
I think actually the cameramen did catch it, but it was too horrifying. They had to destroy the footage, and that cameraman is in hospital right now.
Zapruder.
You can get it on Live Leak.
With photos of Jennifer Lawrence. Yeah. Anyway.
If you look on the dark web,
the Watford's player's face was the right state as well.
Hey, anyway, the good news about this is that we found out that Dave Pressure Hockaday, he was getting more out of the players than anyone else. So if anybody else had been in charge at that game, we would not have lost 4-1. We'd have lost more than 4-1.
Well, didn't we lose 7-3, I think?
That's progress. That's right. Progress for you.
What I loved about Hockaday's comments after this one as well was he said that we'd worked harder than the opposition. Ding! frustrated the hell. That's not one of his common H words, but we frustrated the hell out of a good Watford team. Watford were getting very frustrated and animated on their bench. They were changing things. What was crucial about this game was that when we went down to 10 men, Hockaday took off Billy Sharp and left on Mirko Antonucci up front on his own, who'd never played in England before, and then stuck with that until we went behind, and then Smith came on, and then Polion came on to try and replace the attacking threat that had left with Sharp, because poor old Antonucci didn't really know what he was doing there on his own. Then at the end of the game, he bemoaned the fact that he doesn't have enough experienced championship players in his squad who know this league. Well, he had one on the pitch until he subbed him off. And then he starts saying about, oh, we frustrated the Watford bench. They were changing things. Yes, the Watford bench were frustrated. They were changing things, and they changed the right things. And because they changed the right things, they won 4-1. So it's no good sitting there and saying...
We worked harder.
It's not good sitting there saying, we worked harder, we frustrated them, and they had to make changes, because all they did was make changes and win.
We outworked them 1-4.
it's just awful. It's no surprise. I mean, we'll come on to this later, but when he sort of said in his press conference on Monday, he says, yeah, I read all the stories about me getting sacked, but there was no inkling. I didn't think my job was under threat.
Dead man walking. Well, at least we went on to the local derby against Bradford and put the record straight. This was just a weird thing, wasn't it? Like, you kind of, you feared the worst when you saw the lineup. Old Blue Eyes is back. Norris, that handsome bastard.
Best Leeds player on the pitch.
Well, yeah, and you did, and you saw he was doing the narrow diamond thing again with four central, similar central midfielders, particularly the old guard who'd failed us up to this point in their careers.
Was it Middlesbrough when he'd won, when he declared that wingers are now old-fashioned?
Wingers, they're dead.
Yeah, wingers are dead.
Yeah, that's it. That is, it's over for wingers.
Fucking hell, he won one game.
look at all the big clubs, though. They don't, none of them have any fast players, if you look
that's
at
true,
it.
That's true, yeah. That is true.
Look at like Real Madrid. Who have they got that's quick? No one.
It's all down to hard work.
And your thoughts on this? Can you blame much about this on Luke Murphy and his stupid sending off, which was ridiculous?
It was, but it didn't actually make any difference to the way we were playing because, as I said earlier, we've had in every one of these games four midfielders doing the same thing. So if you've got three men doing the job of one man rather than four men, it don't really make much difference.
Is that the same?
The problem areas were still exactly where they had been for the first half hour, where I think we had one chance where Warnock should have tried to pass it. Admittedly, should Warnock, given that's how he scores goals. But we had carved out one chance the rest of the time. It kept getting to fullbacks, who then looked forward and saw no one in front of them and sort of passed it back to the centre-back, midfield, fullback, centre-back, goalkeeper, centre-back, fullback, centre-back, goalkeeper, centre-back.
They know where this is going.
It's a big kick forward. Because eventually someone thinks, what's the fucking point of this?
There's the giant. Boot it at his head. I was going to say, this is exactly the thing that we kind of were warned about by Forest Green Rovers, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You'll tippy-tap it around a bit until you run out of ideas, then it goes forward.
They called it crab ball, I think, side to side. And the fullback thing in particular was Wotton, who is not a very good fullback, was playing.
Or centre-back.
But he's worse at fullback, playing fullback, exposed. And I can't remember the guy's name, but I think it was Bradford's left-back ended up getting man of the match from Sky because he just tore Wotton apart because there was so much room in front of him, behind him, that Wotton just didn't know what to do. However, if we listen to David Hockaday's comments, tactically, I've been in the game for 40 years and we got it right tonight. We just can't legislate for moments of madness. So even though we looked terrible with 11 men and our right back couldn't cope with 11 men and the sending off made no difference and their left back got man of the match for his performance against a tactically exposed centre half playing right back. We got tactically.
We out-tacticked them 1-2.
We're being a bit unfair to him because I tell you what, that goal was a fantastic move that we scored.
I knew we were going to lose as soon as that went in. In fact, no.
I tweeted and called it almost to the minute, so fuck you.
The sequence was, when it went in, I thought, brilliant, we've scored. And I thought, oh no, this is going to mean extra time because I just assumed Bradford were going to score a winner. So I was like, oh no, they're going to equalise. We're going to be stuck here for another half an hour. And then I thought, oh, they might score two. And then they scored one. And I was like, yeah, we're going to lose this.
For me, actually, in seriousness, was the moment where you thought Hockaday's completely lost this. He had no awareness of the fact that all Bradford needed to do was up their tempo and it was going to kill us dead, and it did.
Tactically, he's been in the game for 40 years and he got it right tonight.
No, but no subs. I mean, I cannot believe he left a team that played for over an hour.
And David Norris, it was his first game in about a year. Yeah.
It's because everybody had a go at him at Watford for making the wrong substitutions. So next game, he makes no substitutions. We were behind when Polion came on, weren't we?
He said, didn't he, if he didn't feel the need to make any substitutions until we were behind.
They could have gone for another hour or something.
Yeah, they could have played for another half hour, those lads.
There were only 2 minutes left.
They were giving me everything. They were dying.
Literally.
They certainly were.
Bless him, Don Polion, he did his best. But then too, Hockaday did say that if only that Smith header at the end had gone in, and I can't believe Polion missed that. If those had both gone in, we would have won 3-2. So actually, he out-tacticked them 3-2.
Anyway, he got the boot.
I felt vaguely sorry for him in the stadium with home and away fans all singing "You're getting sacked" in the morning.
They were right, though.
They were right. Well, no, they didn't sack him until the afternoon, actually, which was quite funny.
Made him take training.
But yeah, I was in the stadium and I was singing it because I was desperate for him to get sacked, but I did kind of think, I feel a little bit sorry. I'm just like on a basic human level. Yeah. You don't want to ruin a man's life, but he was ruining mine. So I thought, right, I'm going to join in with this. So you leave feeling a bit guilty about that. And then you hear him saying we outfought them. We had better tactics. We were the better team. And you think, we were too kind. People should have been on the pitch tearing him limb from limb.
Nearly happened.
Yeah.
On to the Bolton game, though. Redders was in charge for this one. We've laughed at Redders before and doing it for Redders, but bless him, he got it right. He took some risks. A much younger, more mobile midfield, and it paid off, didn't it? Even though it was quite brave sticking with the same formation.
He didn't really take risks, though. He picked
players who he knew he could play.
Players who were good rather than players who were not.
But parachuting Cook in there.
But Cook, every time Cook's come on, he's looked really, really good. And then he started and he looked really good.
I'm going to say when we come on to the Hockaday thing about him being scared to take risks, and it does strike me that that was always the case with him. But obviously, Redfern knows players, like you say, and trusts them. But it was still a bit of a risk putting in a very young lad into such a pressurised situation. Or had the pressure gone by that point? I don't know.
Pressure left with Hockaday. Dave, pressure Hockaday brought it all on himself, brought it all with him. Millwall, Cook's actual debut, he brought Cook on when we were 1-0 down to try and save the game. 17 years old, league debut, Millwall trying to save the game for Leeds United on his debut. That's pressure, and he ended up messing up a pass, giving away a penalty. Whereas Bolton, everybody likes Redfern, everybody's glad that Hockaday's gone. We're at home, everybody's in a good mood. Bolton aren't the most difficult team in the world. It's sort of the right atmosphere, and even if we had lost against Bolton, everybody would just have gone, well, it's Hockaday's fault.
But people have been clambering to get the kids in for ages, haven't they? So. Yeah.
It was the right time to get him in, and it was the right environment, which was just proved by how well he played.
A couple of talking points then. We'll speak about, I guess, the new signings and their impact when we come on to the new signings. Silvestri, though, he did support Moscow, your prediction in the last podcast,
yep,
for player of the season.
Ross McCormack of the season,
For that award. Very, very good game indeed. Some good saves. That little flurry at the end, particularly good.
Yeah, and I liked how Jason Pearce jumped on him after making that last save as well.
Breaking him.
Yeah, breaking him in two. And generally, there are lots of opportunities to jump on Silvestri, because after every save, whether it's a gentle catch to the midriff, tipping it round the
corner, lie down,
he sort of falls to his knees and then just lies down on the floor with the ball and then waits until he gets up again. Very good at just slowing the game down. I wonder if it will get a little bit like Kasper Ankergren when he used to kick the posts before taking every goal kick, and what started off as an endearing habit became just infuriating as you heard them, his stud noise echoing around an increasingly empty stadium.
Clang!
But as it is, I still quite enjoyed watching, and there were cheers going up every time he took an easy catch and then...
And just rolled over.
Yeah.
It is bizarre to watch him do it, though.
It's like he's being knighted. He drops to his knees and then is so overcome by the touch of the sword on each shoulder that he then just falls forward into the Queen's lap.
And finally, a word on Jermaine Beckford, the returning hero. Now, that was funny. He always is, isn't it? Every time. Bless him.
He gets stick for every time as well from the fans. And
he doesn't give a shit, does he?
Ah, I'm sure it'll be fine this time.
I did quite enjoy the tweet that I have copied and pasted down on our notes that I'm not sure I can read out.
Oh, just read it, we'll bleep it.
Okay. Jermaine Beckford, you f***ing pea-headed traitor. Off back to that hole, you scum chest-pumping hashtag goon.
And the word that we, of course, bleeped out there was
the news.
Into this bit now then, and this is all new and exciting for the podcast. A brand new feature. Listen to this, gents.
Wait, what is this?
That's the sacking siren. Should we play it again? There we go. It's the sacking siren,
it's
that
like
is.
It's proper radio now, sound effects buttons.
Yeah, well, that's the sacking siren, and that has been sounded as the siren to commemorate the sacking of David Hockaday. We will use the siren every time somebody is sacked from Leeds United.
Just the manager? Because if it's every time anybody...
We didn't cover
anybody.
It in the last podcast, did we? We mentioned... We were like, oh, Gibbs is still there, isn't he? And then about...
Not now.
There he is. He's gone. He's long gone, his Gibbs.
There we go. That's the sacking siren for Gibbs.
He wasn't actually sacked, did he? He kind of... He's more wandered off. He was like, fuck this. There's no one. No one's giving me anything to do.
Do we have a lodged employment tribunal dispute against the club siren?
Yes, we do. It sounds a bit like this. There we go. Very similar to the other one.
And then the interesting thing with Gibbs is that even though he has been sacked...
Oh, do I have to do it every time you say the word sacked?
I thought that was what they did on...
We're building listeners here.
What would the hairy cornflake do?
Well, this is true. But no, I can't say that.
Go there.
I can't say that.
Is that not only did he get sacked, but then shortly after being sacked, he was offered the job before Hockaday had even been sacked himself. Fancy managing the team for a couple of days, Nigel?
No.
Well, actually, Massimo, I'm suing you? Yeah, but you know, man, you know, bring a lawyer. I'll bring two.
Anyway, Hockaday went after 70 days, so he outlasted both Steen and Clough.
Fewer games than Clough, I think. Yep. Overall,
it's hard to get sacked before you've had any games.
That is true. So but
Dave did as well as he could.
He's given it a good go, though.
Yeah, it's not. It's not beyond the realms of possibility with Massimo Cellino, I don't think. In the last podcast, in the pre-season one, we did our predictions as well, didn't we, about when he would get fired. So should we revisit those now? I thought we might not do that until the end of the season, he says, or at least until the winter time. But no, it happened sooner than probably a few of us expected. Anyway.
The kids weren't even back at school.
Is it unfair to say that he only lasted one pod? Because technically we should have done two by now, but, you know, things happen. Yeah. But really, he has gone in the space of a podcast.
Definitely only lasted one mag.
Which is a shame, because when we were just preparing ideas for the new bag, our designer, Eamon Dalton, did instruct one of our artists, Joe Gamble, just try and draw loads of Hockadays because we'll probably need them. No, not so much.
Anyway, let's look back through our predictions then. Who was the winner? It was Moscow. You yeah. called it right. So let's go back through. Oddy, you said he would get sacked at 5 p.m. after Millwall, which put you at 19 days out.
Which in theory should have done.
Yeah.
I'm taking a moral victory on that one.
Yeah. I mean, 19 days to within the very day is pretty good. It's an accurate guess.
19 wasted days. They could have sacked him after that.
Michael, you said 17th of September, so you were actually only 20 days out, just one more than Oddy.
That's not bad.
Again, a pretty fair guess. You could be happy with that. I said 1st of November, at tea time, very specifically, after the Cardiff game, but I was out by, you could count it in months, can't you?
It was wildly optimistic.
And Moscow, congratulations.
Thank you.
You said at 10 p.m. on Tuesday after the Accrington game, which put you 16 days out. You were closest.
Yeah, it would have been charming if you'd sacked him straight after the Bradford game, because then, as I was saying, we would have been able to hear it inside the, well, over the cheers of the Bradford City fans. You get out of the club. And then I would have had the right cup competition as well, and also the wrong day of the week, because we ended up playing them on a Wednesday for Sky, but midweek.
But against a shitty club.
Yes, it's lower league opposition. So I'm saying, because I don't often get things right, I don't just want to say I was close with the date. I want to point out all the other circumstances that made me even righter. Call me Nostromosco.
I like that, yes. He was a dead man walking at Watford, wasn't he? We nearly fired off the sacking siren. Hang on. There it is. A little bit too soon on Saturday night after the Watford game. I like how it goes three times. It adds a nice air of authority to it.
Yes, because if you're Hockaday in this situation and you hear that, it gives you the chance to go, yes, but Mr. President.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
But what about Junior? I'll just leave.
£10,000 payoff. Poor David.
Oh, it's 10,000 more than he was getting on the dole.
No, I know
that makes me sound like Ken Bates. I realise this because he always used to go on about, oh, there's plenty of footballers and managers running the dole. But he actually was and is again. But he's on the dole with 10 grand. So, you know, and however.
He got a good salary for a couple of months.
Yeah, and if that they said that was a month's wages, and he did work 2 months and a week, 2 months and 10 days. So he's got 20, call it 25 grand, 35 grand all in. And I was going to say perhaps we paid his expenses. Maybe he was staying with a friend.
Free trip to Italy.
Yeah, that's true.
I bet he's got to keep all of his training gear.
I don't think so.
DH? No? He's all got his initials on. Were we trying to peel them off?
Well, they've had David Haig, so he's inherited them from David Haig.
They might fit David Haig by the time he gets back.
Anyways, £10,000 payoff. My old man accidentally did a comedy remark to me and said that he got more when he left the gas board, which kind of puts it all in proportion, doesn't it?
But did he do a really shit job for just a couple of months there?
No, he worked there for decades.
Did he work hard? There you go.
Yeah, he did. Honesty. Humility.
Was he hungry to fix those gas pipes?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
He wasn't a arsehole then. Like, oh, could he?
No. Anyway, at least Chelino's taken the blame for this one, even if some of the more fervent of Chelino supporters on the online Twitter world would have you believe that he is infallible.
He was right to hire him. He was right to fire him, even though Chelino says it was all a terrible mistake. Yeah, I mean, it's not only that he's made the mistake of hiring him. Well, he's not really said that hiring him was a mistake. He said that not firing him after Watford was his mistake. Yeah, I made the wrong decision last week to retain the services of the head coach and his assistant. We have to face our mistakes when we make them, and I have done that. I may make other mistakes, but if I do, I will be big enough to own up to them like I have with David and Junior, which sounds like the kind of letter that my parents made me write when I was 6, to say that I was sorry, and I might do it again, but if I do it again, I won't mean it, and I will be very sorry for doing it again, and please can I have my pocket money this week? Can you imagine sending a letter like that to Massimo Cellino?
Stymied Hockaday's ambitions for the Champions League anyway a little bit, not sort of thwarted in that particular desire to get there, which is a shame.
He said that after Watford as well, when the whole world knew, and it was even after Cellino had said on Sunday the words, yes, at Watford I decided to sack him. I said, he's finished. I wasn't happy. I was ashamed of the performance and it, brackets, sacking Hockaday, was what I wanted to do. And then Dave Hockaday said on Monday, yeah, I spoke to the president on Sunday, but my job really wasn't under discussion. He's going to take us to the Champions League and I want to be part of that journey.
It's funny as well because we'll obviously be speaking to Phil Hay shortly, but he did say on Twitter to somebody, I can't remember who, that he'd already written Hockaday's obituary for the paper on Saturday after the Watford game.
And I can't imagine, from everything we know about Massimo Cellino, that he did not tell Dave Hockaday on the phone on Sunday, I was going to fucking sack you, you fucking useless sack of shit. Even if he changed his mind, I can't imagine him not mentioning the fact that he was going to sack him. And then Dave Hockaday come back, oh, we didn't discuss my job. Maybe they didn't directly discuss his job. Maybe Cellino just called him names for half an hour. But I refuse to believe that there was nothing, there was no subtext or even just text to that phone call that said, you are getting fired for this. Oh, okay, we'll blame Belushki for now.
Yeah, I mean, it was never going to work out, was it? I mean, on the podcast last time, I thought you were being cynical bastards for being so dismissive, but it was true. It was never going to work out.
Dan, you were the most optimistic and predicted it last till November.
Yeah, that's true.
None of us thought it'd work out, let's be honest. Last the podcast the previous season, do you think Brian will still be there at the end of the season? All of us, yeah, probably, yeah. Hockaday, we had predictions for two people having him sacked within the first 3 days of the season.
Mm. And weren't far wrong.
And weren't far and they were nearly right.
And before we come on to speaking about his replacement, we need to perhaps sound the sacking siren just once more for Junior Lewis, who, of course, departs with Dave Hockaday. So I'll do that for you now. This is Junior's sacking siren. There we go. Three times, lovely.
Tactically, yeah. They got it right.
Hockaday, you dug his own grave slightly. Well, primarily with results and tactics and stuff. But also his press conferences, which sometimes when a manager's in a tough situation, they'll send their assistant, won't they? Which, not really an option for Dave.
Who do you want in next then? Talk to me about that.
Junior. Bring him back.
We've got to, well, bear in mind, Chiellino put that little printed out statement around the ground against Bolton, which had all that apology stuff, and then said, I will select a new coach that I believe can help the club, and the supporters must realise that it may not be a big name. Which basically just made me think Hockaday again, or somebody worse.
Hockaday in a wig.
What a vision.
I've been growing this hair for 40 years, man and boy, and hirsutely, I've got it right.
What do you reckon to Simon Grayson then? Would you? Would you not?
I'm not a member of... Anyway.
Let's not go down, pool.
Let's not go down that route again. The typing pool, exactly. Lovely retro reference.
He's got a good job at Preston. Seems to be doing all right there. Got them into the playoffs. Lost to that Steve Evans barn. Unfinished business.
Big Leeds fan.
Big Leeds fan. We have slightly better defenders now than we had when he was here, who hopefully won't all have breakdowns as soon as he turns up.
I was going to say, could he work under a crackpot owner? But we know that he could because, of course, Ken Bates was here before.
And he has worked with Peter Ridsdale at Preston as well. I remember.
And the Oystons.
Yeah, he's worked for the Oystons in the past. So I think Ridsdale may have left Preston. I was trying to work out the other day where he was. But whoever he's got there must be better than Chiellino. But maybe he misses the madness. Maybe he misses that day-to-day. Turn up to work, I never know what's going to happen. Every day is different.
Back to the question then. Who do you want in next? Go on then, call it. Who do you want?
We don't know who he's going to
be. Redders?
I'll tell you who I saw on the odds list.
It's looking like Redders tonight, isn't it? He's skipped into the favourite position.
He was only offered William Hill. Nowhere else is offering him. 40-1, Bruno Ribeiro. Get him in.
That would be
continental.
Lovely.
Continental.
Eyebrows.
Violent.
Sometimes, yeah.
But skillful. I loved Bruno.
Ribeiro with Molinara's assistant.
That would be awesome.
Dream scene.
Hopkins coaching at Greenock Morton.
We can't have Hopkins.
Well, I thought you were going to say we can't afford him.
You probably can.
I'd get Hopkins in.
He's terrifying, man.
Well, exactly. You need a little bit of that. You need to bring that fear that Junior Lewis was instilling in them all.
Think of Paul Lewis Cook. Who shit himself?
People were criticised the way Hockaday looked. You can't bring... Hopkins looked like he was about 50-odd when he was playing for us. And he was in his 20s. Unbelievable as that seems when you actually picture him.
Chiellino's first choice, it seems, was Oscar Garcia, who's gone to Watford. So, that's gone. And then he likes Steve Clark, but then Chiellino isn't confident he'll get him, which worries me because Chiellino's a very confident man. So he's like, yeah... The man who can sell coals to Newcastle, can sell snow to Eskimos, and he's like, yeah, Steve Clark, I think he's a bit too tough for me. There's the guy who's just left Watford because he was too mental for them all, Giuseppe Sonnino, used to operating with the European system that I'm not convinced is actually that popular in Europe, but, you know, he'll take a coach. He'll take a Chiellino, rather, and be a coach. And then there's Terry Cooper's son, and apart from that, it all looks a bit grim. What's Paul Ince doing?
Mind your language.
Where's Martin Allen?
Terry Cooper's son was in charge of the Kettering side that Mike Grella scored a hat-trick against.
Well, yeah, you see, the stars are aligning.
Leads through and through. Leads through and through.
I mean, it's one of those things where there's no point really in expressing an opinion because Chiellino, as he says, I may make other mistakes, but if I do, I'll be big enough to own up to them. So we just got to wait.
He's got three kids.
Yeah, and you know which one's youngest is Eduardo.
And he stopped
one
there.
One too many.
Yeah, he stopped there.
Okay. Yeah. That interview he did seemed a little bit... Anyway, let's not insult them too much.
So we finally had the away kit unveiled sometime after the event.
Sometime after the Football League had unveiled it.
Yeah. It's blue. It's got a few stripes in it. We get relegated in pinstripes, don't we?
Good point. Yes. These ones are going the other way, though.
Are they?
Yeah, these are...
The hoops, thin hoops.
Very thin hoops.
Very thin lines.
The main complaint, if you were to be a picky, miserable, complaining sod, is...
Go on then, go for it.
It is an old scum away kit.
Yeah, we mentioned that last time, and we don't need to mention their name too much.
Okay, but now it's official. It is officially an old scum away kit. Have we worn it yet in a game? I don't think we have.
Good question.
Are we gonna?
Watford?
No.
We were in white.
And then Birmingham coming up, we're not going to wear it there. Where are we going to have that Bournemouth?
Looks nice with jeans, though, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, this is it. Looks nice with jeans.
Good news, Matt Smith signed a new contract.
That's good.
If anyone wants a gold away shirt, by the way, I still haven't claimed mine.
Do you lend somebody your season ticket?
Email podcast@thesquareball.net. It's yours.
I might have it, actually, because the one I claimed with my season ticket, I've been wearing it to play five-a-side.
If you want it, you can email podcast@thesquareball.net and request it.
Mine's starting...
If you're lucky... You may win it.
Mine is starting to stink and I'm unwilling to waste washing powder on it. So I'm just thinking it's going to go in the bin when it becomes...
It'll fall apart, won't it? That's the thing.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll just replace it.
Akron.
If you're lucky, you get two.
Okay, then. On to, Smith. Signed a new contract.
Mathieu.
That's great news.
His good. Mother will be pleased. She'll be cracking open the wine and the cheese.
Big part of our future.
Matt, 6'5".
And he's paved the way with that goal against Bradford for what's to come in over the next few years.
The goal against Bradford showed that for all the criticism Smith gets, the one cross we got in, he put it in the net.
No, we got two in.
And then admittedly, we got another one in and he missed it. But
let's gloss over that one.
Yeah. If you give him the service, he will score. Feed Mathieu and he will score, whether it's with Dupin, whether it's Duvan, whether it's Dubosan. I know French for eat is manger, but what's feed? Anybody? It's got to be manger backwards, so a...
Range.
Mange?
Manger, right. Anyway.
Pleased to have him staying.
Yeah, we'll talk about some transfers out in an unconnected thing in a few minutes. Transfers in? God, there's been another flurry since we spoke last.
How long have we got?
It gets dark. It's dark now. I believe some of you have got to be at work in the morning. So
this is also going to be a torturous section because I can see the words loan with an option to buy on there, which is going to blow Moscow's mind on each and every time it's used.
Most of them, it's becoming irrelevant because most of them were just buying them already anyway.
We're exercising our option to buy. That's what we're doing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Presumably, no one's said that they want the player still. It's a they could wonder. Do that, couldn't they?
It's a wonder with Belushki that they. Catania didn't say, actually, we want to keep him, because that was one. And then same with Dukara. I'm surprised that wherever he came from, they didn't say, actually, no, we think that one game he got and then the second one where he got injured were enough to prove to us that we want him back at the end of the season. So I'm surprised that didn't happen.
If not sooner.
Right, first things first, Liam Cooper, 23-year-old centre-back, Chesterfield. We're definitely not signing him. Yep. We won't be going back in for him. We are not having him signed.
The interest is officially over.
Signed him.
Yeah. Definitely not signing looking over his shoulder.
Definitely not signing for £500,000.
Yeah.
Definitely not.
No.
Going for 750.
It's 600 then and he's yours. Anyway, so yeah, we went back on that and did
that. He looks good.
He looks very good, actually.
A little bit too bold with the running out of the ball with defence thing.
Confidence.
But yeah, and then he gets tackled.
He runs with the ball, though. Jason Pearce, no matter how much space he's in, looks like a floundering giraffe.
On ice.
He's not going to play anyway because Belushki's clearly going to be first choice.
He's not Tom Lees.
He'll come in next to him eventually. Pearce will drop, I think.
You think?
I think he'll get sold, will Pearce.
Pearce is
January
club captain.
Well, for now,
he's guaranteed to be sold.
You can't sell your captain.
You generally don't sell players who sign new contracts.
As Robert Snodgrass says, how can you sell your captain and expect to get promoted?
Belushki, 25-year-old centre-back from Catania. Was on loan. It's been converted into a permanent transfer for a reported £1.6 million.
That's a fine reward for getting sent off on your debut. In fact, they hadn't even played before they actually turned it into a permanent transfer, did they?
He's only been sent off in half of his games.
True, yeah. He looks formidable.
Nice word.
He worries me a bit. He looks too calm sometimes. I think that with the sending off, it was a bit of a case of that. He's like, it's all right, guys. I've got... Oh, fuck.
He didn't look very calm with Jermaine Beckford at the end of the game, which was almost... I don't know if it would have gone down well with our support if he'd smacked Jermaine Beckford on his second game and got sent off for it, because Jermaine's practically untouchable.
On to Billy, not William Sharp, 28-year-old from Southampton.
Too old,
according to Chilino. Not interested because he's too old. Yeah, but Mr. President, all right. How much? Nah. Go on then, you got me in a good mood.
He'd be shit at poker, wouldn't he?
He's a good signing, is Sharp, isn't he? I'm glad we've got him. He's one of those players I would have liked to have seen in our kit several years sooner.
Pervert.
It's nice to have seen him with McCormack, interestingly.
It'll be nice to not be linked with him anymore as well.
Yeah. We can still be linked with
him. If we could get Burke and that Chris Taylor fella as well, it'd just get everything finished off, wouldn't it?
We've still got unfinished business with Trevor Sinclair until he signs. Until him and John Scales is in the heart of the defence, I'm not confident that any of this will be Scaravi up front. Yeah, no, he looks good. And we needed somebody to score some goals, and he's good at scoring them at this level.
Mirko Antonucci's coming as well, another centre-forward. 29 years old, doesn't fit the age bill, but certainly in terms of Italian, etc., etc.
600k-ish.
Yeah.
He's as Italian as you want.
From Ternana.
Played most of his career in Serie B. He was captain of his team last season, though, as they finished mere points away from relegation. scored this, I'm being cynical for comic effect. He did score loads of goals for them, though.
The Ross McCormack effect.
Ross McCormack effect. And I was going to say, Hasselbank at Atletico Madrid, when he left us, scored about 30 goals as they got relegated. So hopefully he'll score a lot of goals as we go down as well.
So you're saying scoring loads of goals is meaningless?
No, it's not meaningless. It gives us something to celebrate.
It's a fun way to get relegated.
As we slide towards relegation. The thing that worried me about Mirko against Bolton is him and Billy Sharp both seem to like spending a lot of time outside the box. And Mirko was just shooting selfishly from anywhere. And then when he stopped shooting, he was crossing into the box and Billy was standing miles away going, well, I just thought you were going to shoot. And then when Sharp crossed for him, Mirko would just be like, well, why don't you shoot? I always shoot. So it was.
It's a blossoming partnership.
It's going very well.
Yeah. Kasper Sloth.
So glad he's here. So glad he's here.
What a name.
Not only is it written Kasper Sloth, but it's apparently pronounced Kasper Slut. So the two gifts, really, it's actually apparently it's like Slut. But we haven't got time to say that because it's too long. So I'm favouring Sloth.
We should, quite frankly, anglicise his name because he's in bloody England.
Well, there we go.
There we go. That's
what are we going to do about what does Antonucci mean? Anthony, we've got Mirko Antonucci is now Michael Anthony. Mike Anthony. Mark Anthony.
It's going well. It's going well.
Billy Sharp is William Pointy. Giuseppe Belushi. What's Giuseppe in English?
John.
Okay, so it's John
Belushi.
Boom.
And then
where's that sirens klaxon go?
Yeah, hang on. There you go.
What do we do with Dario?
Ding, ding, ding.
What do we do with
everybody?
What do we do with Dario Del Fabbro? Brian Montenegro is obviously fine.
They're just showing off, them two, aren't they?
Brian Montenegro carrying the weight of an entire nation's expectations on his shoulders.
And called Brian. That's brilliant. I love when
Brian. Like that, sorry, Brain. If you have to read the official site, his name is Brain.
Do you think we've accidentally signed the Brain of Montenegro?
Hang on a second. We'll do a preemptive. There we go. Website editor.
Have we accidentally signed somebody who like won a quiz? The Brain of Montenegro.
I like the idea he could be a Viz cartoon character, Brian the Paraguayan. That's what I think.
That's good. It's like when that Brazilian player, Fred, when you just find these South American chaps who have English names and really sort of, I mean, no offence to anybody out there called Brian, but really sort of unusual English names as well.
But he's like a Paraguayan Alan Brazil.
Yes. Yes, he is.
Brilliant, that. Well done. Speaking of Brazil, Adrián.
The signing of the summer.
19 years old, attacking midfielder from Flamengo, loan with a view to a permanent. Around £3 million sterling will secure his signature next summer.
We won't. Well, it won't, because we're not paying that for anybody. Although we're paying loads of money for people. I'm a little bit worried about all this.
Come on, we complained for years for not spending any money.
It feels true. Strange. It feels strange.
It just doesn't feel right.
£3 million on a highly rated Brazilian.
Serious note, he's one of the few players we've actually heard of.
I'd never heard of him.
And he's a football manager starlet, isn't he?
Well, yeah, but I'm in my 30s, you know.
You're a grown man here.
Don't play much football manager anymore.
Seriously, I mean, Chelino did say we needed a number 10, didn't he, towards the back end of last season. And he's provided a player through which you would anticipate quite a lot going.
I thought Hunt was number 10.
No, a number 10, not just any old number 10, like a traditional, whatever the fancy Italian word is for a number 10.
Someone who's good.
Yes, that'd be it.
Numero 10.
Yep, that's the one. Anyway, back on topic, he's kind of exciting potentially, isn't he?
Potentially. Everyone says that he can't deal with the pressure and that's why his career's not gone very well. And
thankfully, we're a patient bunch.
Yeah, that's what worries me. Nobody's going to get on his back if the signing of the summer, who's brilliant on Football Manager and who is carrying the weight of all our expectations,
after a decade of disappointment and underachievement.
Yeah. In a year's time when people are saying Adrián scores were on the pitch in the same way as we did for Varney and Painter. And
in a cauldron of disappointment.
The Brazilian Billy Painter. Not that we're writing him off already.
He does look like
a child.
He does look like a child, yeah, that is true. But he does look like he can...
A lesbian?
No, he's a bit homophobic. Don't make this a hateful podcast.
Too late.
We've never had any lesbians play for us before.
That's true.
Try something new. Get behind the team. Moscow's holding aloft a picture of what looks to be a chubby 14-year-old boy with some kind of glamour model. But I believe that's the guy we're pinning our hopes on.
Yeah, that's Adrian. Well, maybe we're pinning our hopes on the girl, I don't know.
Well,
yeah,
I don't know what she saw in the millionaire.
Uh-huh. Didn't inspire me with confidence, that picture. But, you know, perhaps if he can attract her, maybe he's capable of tricks that his sort of teenage pot belly disguise.
He looks good on YouTube anyway, which is an important thing.
When was the last time I had someone who could actually beat a man, though? Now Sam Byram can't do it.
Dennis Wise once assaulted a taxi driver.
But, I mean, since Gradle left, we've not had anyone particularly exciting, I don't think.
And weirdly enough, people who can run with the ball means you retain possession for longer and it doesn't tire your team out as much. Basics, I know.
All right, inverting the pyramid over there.
Let's move on to the transfers out. Paddy Kenny has been released into some sort of wildlife reservation. Dominic Polion sold to Oldham for about £100,000.
Sad to see him go.
Mm?
Don't know why, because he's not very good and he probably never will be, but it's always a little bit of a shame when a academy product doesn't become brilliant.
Did anyone see 21 Up on BBC yesterday?
I didn't watch it, but
I know. One-time youth player Sanchez Payne on there. I felt a bit sorry for him. He seems like quite a nice lad.
Was he Don Polion's best mate?
Yeah, and they were hanging around with Andre Wisdom as well, who was gone on to be a premiership footballer.
25% sell-on clause anyway.
That's high. It suggests either that we think he's going to do brilliantly, so we've argued for a big sell-on clause in the future, or Oldham think he's going to crash and burn and leave on a free transfer, so they've not bothered. Like they said, yeah, have 100% if you want. 100% announced, still now. I wish him well.
Where did he go on loan before?
He went on loan to Bury, and then after two games, Neil Warnock called him back and then didn't play him. And everyone's got, are you going to send him out on loan again? No. Just fucking with him. Warnock, let's not. I'd be interested to see if he'd been, I know it's only a loan to Bury, but how different his career might have been if he'd stayed on loan at Bury instead of Warnock bringing him back. Probably had an argument with Kevin Blackwell or something like that. Right, if you're going to be like that, Kevin, if you're going to be like that, I'll have fucking Don back. And I don't use the word fucking often. Apart from in my first book where I got in trouble. Don Polion, a moment's silence.
Finally then, Matt Smith sold to Fulham, the one that probably hurt the most, bizarrely enough.
Hold on a minute. 5 minutes ago he signed a contract and now you're telling me he plays for Fulham.
Sorry to break it to you like this.
Well, you broke it a little bit more gently than the official Leeds United Twitter account. Don't go to bed. More business to be done.
We're going to sell the top scorer at the club again.
Oh, God. And even poor old...
Hang on, I'll just... There we go.
That Twitter man being sent.
Yeah.
It's probably the same as the website man, to be fair.
The YT kid.
Even poor old Smith has spoken of his shock of being told Leeds United were looking to sell him 72 hours after signing a new 3-year deal. We do have a little bit of a human resources problem, but relations as well. Problem at Leeds United. We think about Brian McDermott being called out in the press for visiting his sick mother, Nigel Gibbs being made to work in a cupboard for weeks, Benito Carboni being told to leave because he had some time off to visit a sick relative. We forgot about Carboni.
Yeah.
And then Matt Smith, hey Matt, we got a big new contract, you're going to be best player at the club. And then 72 hours later, going into the signing, I was under the premise... You can tell he's posh. going into the signing. I was under.
You turned into Chiellino again.
It is Mitchie Smith. Going into the signing, I was under the premise that I was a massive part of the plans going forward, and I was very humbled and excited at the prospect. Then, for whatever reason, I don't still to this day quite understand. I heard I was on a shortlist of players that were looking to be offloaded. You can imagine my shock that 72 hours later, I am told I am... I'm not criticising Leon Wobshaw for writing this on the... I'm sure he's transcribed it exactly as it appeared, but eloquent Matt Smith says, you can imagine my shock that 72 hours later, I am told I am a short list of players that they would be looking to move on, if at all possible.
Existential crisis? Yes.
I am a short list. No, but I am a tall man, but I am a short list. I smoke a Galois and stare moodily at the art. Yeah, so that's nice. Give somebody a contract and sell them.
In fact, yes. Was he not just bumping his feet up though?
Probably. Possibly, yeah.
Cynical, but, you know. Going back to the top of this list, Paddy Kenny, it says released here, but wasn't he effectively?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You do say that. However, I'm just checking the official website. All players. They've got rid of him now. He was still on the official website for about a week after the announcement had been made. But then we did say we weren't going to sign Liam Cooper, and he's turned up on the official website. Has Matt Smith gone?
That website's as up to date as our podcast.
Smith's gone. So Smith's, it's getting there.
It's worth saying, by the way, when I was looking at who we'd brought in and sent out this transfer window, I had a look on transfermarkt.co.uk, and it just listed Paddy Kenny unemployed.
Harsh.
Warnock's got a job, though.
Won't be long, will it?
You'll need that experience.
He'll be desperately trying to injure his goalkeeper so we can sign him.
Well, Crystal Palace have got one of the best goalkeepers in the Premier League, that Argentinian guy. What's he called?
Becchio.
Spironi.
So Warnock won't be having that.
Useless.
He's not got the temperament. You know,
got the experience.
I had a lot of experience with Argentinian players when I was at Leeds with that Luciano Bacchio. And he didn't put the graft in. He was no Paddy Kenny. You know where you're at with a lad like Patrick. I call him Patrick.
And we'll wrap up part one of this two-parter right there, and we'll be back in your ears in just a moment.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.